Come on, Elder D.
Uprightly walk uprightly. I remember the story of the lady who was bound over, but then the Lord spoke to her and she started to walk upright. She started to see uprightly. She had new vision. She walked uprightly. It's hard for the enemy to ride your back when you
walk. You know, I want to ask you something. How often do you find yourself really pouring your heart out to God to help you walk uprightly? When it comes to a righteous lifestyle, when it comes to a godly lifestyle, when it comes to a holy lifestyle, do we find ourselves really pouring our hearts out to God to help us walk uprightly before Him? Not before mankind. Yes, that's important too. It's important that we walk uprightly before man, but especially, it's especially important that we walk uprightly before God. Do you find yourself desiring material benefits so much that most of your requests are about material benefits and most of your confessions of faith are about material benefits? Or do you find that your greatest quest is that you please God by your lifestyle, and so you find yourself more often thinking about righteousness, godliness, holiness, and asking God to help you walk uprightly? And do you find that most of your confessions of faith have to do with walking uprightly before the Lord your God, that you will be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not only in word, but in deed? Not just saying, I'm going to be that, but you're truly relying on the Spirit of God to empower you to actually be, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, we're so quick to read a scripture here, read a scripture there, read a passage here, a passage there, and say, yeah, that's what I am because the scripture says it. But in reality, we're not. Too often, we'll look at what the scripture says about us and we will say that's what we are when in reality, we're not. We will say, again, you got to understand, when it comes to being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, there is position. We may have been put in position to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but we've also got to live that way for that to be a reality in our lifestyle. That's why there are going to be so many people. Think about what Paul said, you know, after I preached to others. You know, he talked about the importance that he do what he was teaching others, preaching to others, so that after he had preached to others, he himself would not be a castaway, would not be rejected, because he had not lived the lifestyle he told others they needed to live. And he's the one who wrote, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If he had not lived the lifestyle he said, he would have been rejected. Not would have lost some of the rewards. He would have been rejected. He would have been rejected. So we can't be among the people who love to say we are, but we know we are not. We don't need to be people who are deceiving ourselves into thinking that we'll be received into God's eternal presence for all eternity on our terms. He has made it clear, after we're saved, we've got to follow through. We've got to continue in the way. We've got to press in the way. We have got to go all the way to the point of death, if necessary, in order to demonstrate that we are truly committed to God. So, let's not kid ourselves. Let's be for real. Yes, let's be for real. Proverbs 4, I told you where we'd be coming from. I described where we'd be coming from. How many of you are there? There you go. There you go. Verses 20 through 27. Power. Let's try to make it a habit of equating receiving power from God with pleasing God. Receiving power from God with pleasing God. You know, God makes a strong connection between having faith in God and being faithful to God. So let's make this connection between receiving power from God and pleasing God. Verse 20, Proverbs chapter 4, beginning at verse 20. My son, and of course we know that the word son is generic here, so it refers to daughters as well. My son, my children, it could say, and be accurate. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. How do we avoid letting God's word out of our sight? By making sure that we are constantly, continually reading his word. But notice now, not just looking at the letters, not just looking at the letters that make up the words, not just looking at the words that make up the sentences, not just looking at the sentences that make up the passages, not letting them out of your sight, keeping them within your heart. That's it. We read continually and store up what we learn from our reading, from what we see with our eyes, in our hearts. For they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. The whole body. And check this out. The whole body from head to toe. And some commentators say that the word body in this context is referring to the soul as well. But by and large, all the flesh from head to toe, no matter what is wrong, God's word has ability to make it right. He can heal no matter what. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Life, eternal life, spiritual life that you can have forever and ever and ever with joy unspeakable. And also in this lifetime, for many, health, it doesn't matter if it's brain cancer. It doesn't matter if it's sickle cell anemia. It doesn't matter if it's cerebral palsy. Health to a man's whole body. We've been told that we need to make sure that we keep God's word in our sight, keep them in our heart. There's more that we need to do in order to benefit. You see that life and that health, life for the soul and health for the body. I'll tell you more about that in just a few.